We're going to go on a mental ride. So I want you to take this mental ride with me. Okay? So I need you to start to imagine. I want you to imagine that it's cold. And you're hungry. You don't know when you're going to get a chance to eat again. And you have been taken, stolen from your home. And you're going to a foreign land. And when you get to this foreign land, they place you on a stage in front of a bunch of people. And you hear a man say, "How much for this girl?" And the crowd goes wild and they start talking and yelling out numbers. And you realize at that point that you are being sold. Now, I don't know if this story is true or not, but there's a story out there that goes like this. That President Lincoln one day, with some colleagues as he's out, he comes across a slave auction. And when he arrives at the slave auction, he's looking, and there's this woman on the stage, on the auction block, and he's looking intently at this woman. And as he sees her, he begins to have compassion for her. And as the crowd is bidding, and the auctioneer is saying, "How much for this little girl? How much for this girl?" They're bidding, and they're saying their price. And because of the compassion that's in Lincoln, he turns around, and he bids the bid $1 higher. And somebody else bids the price, and he bids the price $1 higher. Meanwhile, looking intently at this girl, they bid, and he bids, and they bid, and he bids. And the story goes that finally, in the end, Lincoln wins the bid. He bought the slave. And as the story is told, he walks over to her. And he tells her, "You're free." The title of my sermon is, "Do You See This Woman?" And I want you to turn your Bibles over to the book of Luke, chapter 7. And while you're turning over to the book of Luke, chapter 7, let me set the stage for you. Let me kind of get your mindset where we're at. We're at a time where the Pharisees were the religious political party. They were the ones who were, if they said it was good, it's good. If they said it was bad, it's bad. They're the ones who are calling all the shots for society, religiously. And so if they were the ones to say that you were in, then you were accepted as being a religious person who knew what they were talking about. However, on the flip side, if the Pharisees said that you were somebody who did not know what you were talking about, you were viewed as an outcast, and oh, there's somebody who they don't know what they're doing. Don't listen to them. And so at this point in time, we have Jesus, and the jury is still out on him. At this time, the Pharisees don't know what to think about him. He has some fame. He's kind of went about, and they see him teaching. They see him doing things. He has a following. People are knowing about Jesus. And so the jury is still out. They're trying to figure out, is he somebody who's for us, somebody who's against us, somebody who knows what he's talking about religiously, or somebody who has not a clue? They haven't made up their mind of who Jesus is at this point. We're going to pick up at the text starting in verse 36. So we have this wealthy Pharisee named Simon. And out of Simon's curiosity, Simon decides he's going to invite Jesus to dinner because, again, it hasn't been told if he's somebody against him, somebody's for him. They just know he's popular. They want to know where does he sit. Verse 36 reads, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat." So Jesus gets this invitation, "Hey, I want you to come to my house and I want you to eat dinner." And Jesus decides, "That's fine, I'll come to your house. I'll go ahead and eat dinner." And the Bible tells us that while Jesus is sitting there, he's at the table, that in verses 37 through 38, you have, it says, "Behold a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil." So here Jesus is sitting at the table. And as Jesus is sitting here at the table, there's a couple things that we have to notice about these verses right here. he's sitting there, and you got to ask yourself, if Jesus is the one who's invited, where did this woman come from? Jesus is at the table, and it says, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table at the Pharisee's house. How did she know that Jesus was sitting at the table? Because during that time, they have a custom that when they're eating dinner, the door would be open and people, strangers could be walking through the courtyard and they'd be able to see in your house. And if you were wealthy enough and you had servant quarters, you may have uninvited guests who would come in, go through, and go to the servant's quarters. We could just stay the night or something like that. So now we have a situation where this woman obviously must have seen Jesus. She would have had to have been walking through and seeing Jesus sitting at his table. Now, the Bible says that she was a sinner, a woman in the city who was a sinner. I believe that this woman was known to everybody around to be a sinner. They knew. Now, the Bible doesn't reference to what type of sin. It doesn't recognize that. It just references that she's a sinner that is known among the people. People have judged her, have looked at her, have already decided, this woman, there's something wrong with her. She shouldn't be anywhere around her. So it's a commonly known thing. She has a reputation, if you will. And so I have to hold the belief that she had some type of encounter with Jesus before. Brent, how do you get that out of that verse? Because it says that when she saw that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house, when she knew that, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. That's not something that you just walk around with. When you have an alabaster flask of oil, you're not just going to walk around that like an everyday thing. It's not like me having this bottled water and I'm just going to walk around with it like we do in today's society. This would be something considered worth a lot of money, a lot of value, something that you would have hidden like a true good possession. So she knew Jesus was at his table. She knew Jesus was there. She goes back, gets her alabaster flask, comes back, and she's there, and let's see what the Bible says. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet. So here this woman is, standing there with Jesus, and she's crying so much that she's there, that her tears are so much, that she has so much tears, that she's able to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. And it says that once she washes his feet, she gets the hair of her head, and she dries his feet with the hair of his head. And after she does that, it says that she anoints him with oil, right? Oh, she also kissed his feet. Now, I've been married for 16 years. Stacy's feet ain't getting kissed. Right? But you got this woman who is so emotional, and she's seeing Jesus, and she has the flask, and she's coming back, and she's crying and boo-hooing and all these tears, and is going on his feet, and she's wiping them with her hair, and she's anointing them with oil and kissing them and kissing them and kissing his feet. And verse 39 says, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this is Simon. When Simon saw this, what does that say? He spoke to himself, right? That really means he spoke within himself. He thought. You know how we do. You do something and I'm looking at you, but I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with you? I don't say that, but I'm thinking that in my head. He spoke to himself, saying, other translations say within himself. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she's a sinner, commonly known, right? So I want you to understand. You have this scene of this woman kissing Jesus' feet, and as you have this going on over here, you have Simon looking at this, and he's like, I guess I was wrong about him. Because if he would have known about this woman, if he would have understood, he wouldn't even let her touch him. So he must not be a prophet. He must not be anybody special, because what type of person will let her touch him? He must not know she's a sinner. Listen to the question. Jesus answered and said to him, what did Jesus answer? Because he didn't talk out loud. He said within himself. He thought to himself, what manner of, who is this guy that would let this woman touch him? Jesus answered him. Jesus is going to answer the very thought and intent of this man's whole personality, whole mindset, what he is thinking. That is Jesus looking at this. You can have your own thoughts, but Jesus is getting ready to address what this man is thinking. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." That's almost like, if you will, Jesus saying, you want to question me? Simon, I want to question you. So he said, "Teacher, say it." Simon goes and says, "Look, you want to question me? What do you want to ask me, teacher?" Now listen to this. I don't want you to read it yet, but this is important. Listen to what he is getting ready to ask. Are you ready? Are you guys paying attention? Get everything off your mind. Listen to the question. Because the question is mind-boggling, what he is getting ready to ask. Are you ready for this? Watch this. Here's the question. This is what Jesus says. There's a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. He's saying, here's my question, Simon. There's a creditor, someone who had loaned out money, and he has two people who owe him money. The one person owes him 500 denarii, and the other person owes him 50 denarii. We all read that to be the same, right? That's the question. He says, and when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? He's saying, look, so you have these two people, one at 50, one at 500. He says, but neither one of them could repay. He says, here's my question to you. He freely forgave them both. You understand that? Shake your head. He freely forgave them both. So the question to you, Simon, is, tell me, who do you think? I want to know, how do you calculate? Who do you think, or which one of them will love him the most? That is the question, right? Which one of them will love him the most? Are you listening? Are you listening to this? Simon, in verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he forgave the most. You know, if you have to ask me, I guess if I really look at this, the person who was forgiven more is probably going to love him the most. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. So Simon, what you're telling me is, if there's two debtors, the one was forgiven 50, one was forgiven 500, the one that's going to love the creditor the most was the one who was forgiven 500. And basically that's what he's saying. Yeah, that's what happened. And Jesus says, you are right. You are so right. Do we understand that neither one of them had money to repay? Do we understand that he forgave them both their debt? Do we understand what's going? Because then he turns and he says something. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? What kind of question is that? They are in Simon's house. Of course he sees this woman. He's not really asking, do you see this woman? It's almost like when my girls tell me something, I say, do you hear me talking to you? I know they hear me talking to me or talking to them, but I'm asking them because I need to get clarification. Are you paying attention to what I'm telling you? Jesus is saying, do you really see this woman? Are you really looking? Here's my question. I asked you a question. There's one that got forgiven 50, one that got forgiven 500. You tell me the one that got forgiven 500 is the one who's going to love him most. So my question to you is, are you paying attention to this woman? Do you happen to see her? And then he goes and tells them something. He says, look, I entered your house. I gave you, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet with fragrant oil. He's saying, let me ask you a question. Do you really see this woman? Because I asked you a question, Simon, who's going to love more? The one that was forgiven for 50 or the one that's forgiven for 500? And it's the one that's forgiven for 500. Well, do you see this woman? Therefore I say to you, her sins which are many are forgiven, so she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Let me ask you, which of you loves Jesus the most? Which of you in this room loves Jesus the most? Because I need to know, and I think he's asking us all this question, do you see this woman? Do you see her? Because I think what he's trying to get us to understand is it depends on how you have looked at this. What have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven 50 or 500? Because if you've only been forgiven 50, then you know what? You're going to be like Simon. It's not going to be a big deal. You're not going to look at it as being a big deal. Because guess what? You're religious. You got it all figured out. But his question is, do you see this woman? Why hasn't she stopped kissing my feet and stopped crying over me and stopped wiping away her tears with her hair? What is it that she recognizes? What is it that she knows? I have to tell you, she understands that she owed God a lot. She understands that there was a debt that was so big that she could not repay. And the question that Jesus is asking, do you put your name in there? Put your name. He's not talking to Simon. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. Do you see this woman? Because my question is, how much do you love me? How much do you realize that I paid for you? What kind of debt do you think that I paid? Do you see her? How come she won't stop crying? How come she won't stop washing my feet? Why is she using her best on me? Because this woman understood. I need to know because I don't get it. Do you see her? Are you sitting there missing her? How much was paid for you? Was it 5 denarii? Was it 10 denarii? Was it 20? Where are you at in this equation? Because God is saying, I can answer the question for you. I know how much you think that your sins were worth. How do you know that, Lord? Do you see this woman? Listen what he says. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. How much do you love her? How much do you love him? I am going to challenge everyone, including myself, to say that you only love him as much as you feel that you need to love him. That is hard for people to understand. But you will only love him as much as you think that you need to love him, because that's how much he did for you. The question is that you have to figure out, that you have to understand is, how much do you sit in this room, go throughout the week, understand, live life, and think that Jesus paid for you? Because everybody had a price. We just don't rationalize what that price really is. And so he's saying, do you see this woman? He's trying to teach us that this is hard. It's a hard problem that we have. Who loves Jesus the most? The person who realizes how much Jesus really did for him. Do you see this woman? Do you act like this woman? Can you not help yourself when it comes to Jesus? You're just so grateful for everything that he's done for you. You have to fall down on your knees, and you have to worship him, and you have to thank him because he has forgiven you of your sins. Do you see this woman? Because that's the question. Who loves him the most? Who believes that they were forgiven so much that there's nothing they can do but just fall down because the gift that you gave me, this gift that you gave me of salvation, is so deep and so important that I finally realize that, Lord, you are so great. I finally see it. Do you see her? That's the question we have to understand. That story, going back to the introduction, that story goes that Lincoln walked up to that woman, and when he told her that you're free, her reply to him was, well, then if I'm free, I want to be with the one who freed me. If I'm free, then I want to be with the one who freed me. Do you realize that Jesus has paid the price to free you? He has paid the price, and he's asking you, if you realize that I paid the price and you understand, how much do you love me? That's a question we all have to answer for ourselves. How much? Do you see this woman? We sometimes miss the point of God. What a great gift that he gave us. The great sacrifice. And we get caught up in life, and I think that this happens to everybody at one time or another, that you get caught up in life and you miss the point and you don't realize that, you know what, God has no longer become your focal point. He's no longer your priority. And God is trying to tell us, guess what? Make sure you pay attention to this woman. You know what? Make sure you see this woman. Make sure you understand. It goes back to the same question I asked you earlier. Why is this in the Bible? Because God wants us to understand, do you see her? I see her. And sometimes that shames me. Sometimes it shames me because I forget the price that was paid for me. Sometimes it shames me because I forget that God had sent his son to die on the cross, and I go throughout my day not recognizing that, not living like that, not putting my efforts forward to serve God because I realize that the price that was paid was something that I could not afford to pay myself. The two debtors, neither one of them could afford to pay it. That was me. And that was you. Do you see her? You may be here this morning, and you realize that your actions and the way that you follow God are not the way that they should be. You have lost focus of the way that it is to serve God and to follow God. And that is something that happens. And let me tell you, if you find yourself in that rut, we want to help and assist you and pray with you and pray for you. That's not something that you allow yourself to get caught up in. Because the question is, do you see her? If you see her and you realize that you are not the same and your actions are more like Simon, get out of that situation today. Don't live like that any longer. Don't be like that any longer. Or you may be one who is here today who has not obeyed Christ. Let me tell you, God was just like in the story when Lincoln was sitting there and he had compassion on that woman and he said, you know what, I'm going to buy her. I'm not going to let anybody else have her. That's what Christ was doing when he died on the cross. He said, I'm going to pay the price so I can have all of you. Because I don't want none of you to die and go to hell. But you have to be willing to accept the blood of Jesus Christ by being obedient. If you believe in God and you understand that and you are reading his word and you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and by through God's word you realize that you have to live according to the Bible, and you are willing to do that, you're willing to repent from the way of doing everything your way and to do what God said, and you are willing to confess before men, to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you are willing to do that, then the Bible says that you have to have your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. And when you have your sins washed away, God will wash your sins away and raise you up as a new creature. And then it's time for you to live. Do you see her? Do you see yourself? The invitation is yours, and together we stand and sing.